This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
And I was like, who the fuck is Ferg?
Speaking of business.
Colby really is a businesswoman
yeah.
now.
Yeah. I signed an offer letter last week.
I'm eating dairy again. I really like him. So I would totally be down to like have a conversation about where this is going.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
We're confused.
Are we rolling?
We're rolling. I'm keeping an eye on her in case she misbehaves, but I'm feeling confident this time.
We're having some technical difficulties again. The OGs,
it's like
remember?
The old days.
It's like the old days. It's like we're baby children again. It is kind of crazy. We're like, we're in that era where when we started the podcast, like we were babies.
No, we were.
We were different people.
We were completely
we're
different.
Up on 4 years.
4 years.
That's a whole college experience.
Well, I was going to say, are we seniors?
We are. Oh, we're God. Seniors in podcast college.
Wow.
And what year are we in the city? Year seven.
Year seven? Now that's crazy.
Yeah.
Now that is crazy.
Like, probably a little bit less, but...
Well, six.
Yeah.
Well, Katie and I actually even out because she went to LA.
True.
Yeah.
That's actually true.
So technically speaking, I'm on year six of physically... Well, my LLC has done business in New York for 7 years,
yeah,
technically, but I was in LA for a short
I remember
stint.
When I thought you were like permanently going to move to LA, and in my head I was like, fuck, I need to brace myself to also have to move to LA because I couldn't just let all my friends move to LA without me.
No, that was a phase.
One thing about me, nobody's going to do something without me.
That was a phase, like going blonde, that was a phase. I've gone through many phases, but I think it's essential for human development to go through some questionable phases.
Did you end up shipping furniture from LA to back to New York?
Yeah.
Did you ship furniture in the first place from New York to LA, or did you buy new furniture there?
Both things.
Okay, so your furniture has done a US tour.
We made some cross country. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I still have anything. That's the crazy thing about me. I go through furniture quickly. Although I'm making a vow. I mean, look around. These are some repeat offenders from the last apartment.
Yes.
Essentially all.
Yeah, no, really everything. The only thing that I've bought is, well, that hasn't arrived yet. I bought two bedside tables.
Yeah.
And then I bought, Lulu and Georgia was having a sale. So I bought a dresser from them, like half
nice.
Off. Their stuff is so good.
Yeah.
And then a frame TV, I was telling Adam.
Oh,
I got
so exciting. You
the
got
the frame
it.
TV because it's been on my mind for a while, and I texted Danielle. I don't know why I thought that Danielle would like maybe, because like I wanted to pull the trigger and I wanted someone to tell me not to do it, mm-hmm. like if it wasn't worth it. And I don't know why I ever thought Danielle would be the one to tell me not to do it.
Right.
No, she's an enabler.
No, Danielle is a girl's girl. She's like if you want reassurance to do anything in life, text Danielle Carolyn.
Yeah.
And she will be your biggest cheerleader. And she cheerleaded me right into pressing purchase on the Samsung frame, which I'm really excited about because the more I look at my TV, especially the way that it sits in this apartment, it's just like a black box reflecting light in my face like all day because it's so shiny. Mm-hmm. I need that like matte. I need art on my wall, you know?
But also it's like it's parallel to the windows. So naturally the light is going to hit it. So you need something that's more matte.
Are you going to get a frame for it?
Well, it comes with one.
Oh.
They have the ones that it comes with. And then you can, of course, like get like the gilded like gold.
Okay, because I've never actually looked into it. I wasn't sure if the frame meant that it in fact came with a frame or that it just had that art feature.
Well, it comes with like a classic frame. Like, if you've seen Danielle's, hers has like a very simple brown frame. I got like a very similar one to what she has. But you can also get, like, it looks like it's in a museum gold frame.
So that's the one I was picturing you getting.
I don't know if that's my journey, only because we have a gallery wall incoming that I went to Framebridge. I went to Framebridge. We did the whole nine yards. I planned out this whole situation that's going to take 4 weeks. So once that comes, then maybe we'll make some more bold decisions with the frame. But for now, we're just simple.
Can you swap out the frame on a frame TV?
Yep.
Yeah, you can.
Yep, and you can buy like art to project on it.
Oh, fun.
It's kind of like, I was trying to explain it to Jack. It's kind of like
a digital art store.
Exactly. Right? It's like an app store where you can like buy different artists' work and project it on. It'll be on the TV like during the day. So it always looks like art.
Right.
And I'm just like, I understand the frame TV is expensive. I have a perfectly fine TV that Adam has his eyes on. I was like, do you want a TV?
Why didn't you take the other TV when it was available?
I already have one of Katie's TVs. Katie's TV is hanging in my bedroom.
No, Adam has one of my TVs already. I was wondering if you wanted an upgrade.
Because this one's better.
This one's bigger. I was like, Jack, you got to log out of all of our apps.
No, you can't. I literally am still on Patty Pilates, Amazon Prime Video, Apple TV, Netflix.
No, that's the biggest thing that I like have deep-seated regret. Like, whenever I go to an Airbnb and I log into my Netflix or whatever, HBO.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
I always forget to log out. And I always say, I'm not going to do that. And I do it. I forget. And then, randomly the other day, some random person with the name Ferg popped up with a profile on my HBO.
Oh, no.
And I was like, who the fuck is Ferg?
Yeah.
See, that's some audacity when you go and make an account on someone else's
profile is wild. I mean, you're just asking to get caught at that point.
But part of me was like, how considerate? You know, he's not messing with my algorithm or my mom's or my sister's.
He's
letting you know.
he started his own page, so he has his own algorithm. How considerate?
Yeah, very considerate.
Although very it's nice crazy. Though. It's crazy work. I was like, do I know this Ferg? Do I know a Ferg? And then we looked, and his birthday is like 1985. I'm like, nah, I don't know any Fergs.
So Ferg's also like 10 years older than us.
So did you change your password?
I should definitely do that. We just deleted him.
Oh.
We kicked him off.
Ferg's well,
we
not deleted him. Happy.
No, but he can still get access, I'm sure. Shit.
I wonder where it is. I need like the origin.
Well, you can go on and see where you're logged in. Different devices. So you should just remove all the devices except for your own.
Okay,
got it. Your family can re-log in.
Except for your own and mine.
My parents and Ashley are going to get the boot.
Yeah.
They're going to be pissed.
They can log back in.
So are you at a stage where you're paying for your own subscription services?
Well, we kind of have, we've done like a little deal, fam. Because a lot of these are like family, you can do multiple accounts now. I remember a time when you were like not allowed to do it. Remember? Yeah. Like people share Netflix.
Is still strict.
Yeah. Can you share Netflix? I don't even know.
You can, but
it's
like,
it's very challenging.
Yeah, it ain't easy.
Me and my sister are always fighting over who gets to be logged into it.
I think I have my own Netflix, like just me. But HBO, I have, my parents use. Disney Plus, they have, I use. We have like a few things like that.
Yeah, where, that's how we are. I pay for HBO and Spotify.
It's a collaborative effort.
Ours has evolved into the same because I basically was like, I need to have Max to watch Game of Thrones. And I ended up buying Max for us. And so now we use Max. But I bought it with Ginger's like school email.
Genius.
Because it's only $1 a month if you pay for it with your college email. So I'm still benefiting. Still reaping the rewards.
Are you grandfathered in?
I don't even think like you need to be grandfathered in. Like I think I actually don't know how that works. Like
when she graduates, do they know?
Yeah, I don't know. Because the email is still active, I guess.
They only give you 4 years.
Maybe. That's an interesting take. I didn't think about that.
My email.
Need to plan accordingly.
You're going to start being charged $16.99 a month.
I'd be so pissed.
My Elon email kicked me out.
Oh, same. So now I lost access to that years ago.
Speaking of Elon, Colby and I are going to an alumni event. Our first one.
First one since Elon.
Yeah, can you bring a plus one?
We probably can. They always have these Elon in New York events.
Yeah.
And we've just like, and I think my Gigi Big is on the board.
Yeah, she is.
And I fully just have never gone.
And I, for some reason, only get notified about the Boston alumni events. I never get notified about New York ones. Not that it matters because I didn't go to them there either, but I think it'll be an interesting soiree.
Yeah, we'll see.
Where is it?
Cipriani in Midtown.
Oh, bougie.
Yeah. we got money, I guess.
So how do they pay for these things?
They do it every year, donations.
Oh.
They always text me looking for money.
Yeah.
And I have my brick, remember?
Oh, I do remember.
They text, call, email.
Yeah, they hound you. Yeah. They have a whole team on it. I have a $5 a month brick that goes to these events. I'm paying for my drinks.
Oh, you still pay $5 a month for that brick?
Oh, yeah. I'm keeping the brick forever.
In perpetuity?
Yeah, well, you have to, or they dig it up.
They dig up the brick.
That's so savage.
I have a brick, for those listening at home, I have a brick with my name on it. And ZTA, obviously, because it was the biggest part of my personality that I was in a sorority.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I have Katie Bellotti, ZTA. If you're going to Elon for any reason, it's under the Oaks outside of West Dormitory on the ground in like the middle somewhere. And if I stop paying my $5 a month donation,
they dig it up.
They literally dig it up, those savages.
Yeah.
That is pretty savage. So I'm keeping it there.
So I'm keeping my donations coming.
That's actually so savage of Elon, because if you think about it, it probably costs them more to have somebody dig up the brick.
Yeah.
They have people like gardeners and like all day people on the ground. So I feel like they can just find it next time they're over there and pop it out.
I need you guys to like do a little tour of the gardens next time you're at Elon and just like look at the gardeners digging up bricks.
Well, I know the gardeners come out at crazy hours as well, because there were times where I did some walks of shame through campus, strides of pride. And I would see the gardeners at like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning.
You know what they're doing. Yeah. They're digging up bricks from people who aren't paying their dues.
Completely.
That's so funny. I don't have anything like that for me at Maryland. My name isn't on anything.
Oh, same.
Is there any evidence of you being
my
there?
My face is on the composite.
You started some clubs. That's something.
I started some clubs. I have a legacy.
What clubs?
I started the real estate club. I started the entrepreneurship club.
Okay, so
I was like the president of everything.
Your name's somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I was always like, I'm going to be the president of every club on campus. I was a big nerd.
You were very involved in extracurriculars.
I knew the secrets also. I was like, if I'm going to get into the business school, I need to be the president of everything. And sure enough, I was. And then I got in. And the rest is history.
So do you have to apply to your concentration school once you're already there?
I think, so you start off like general, and then there are certain schools that you have to apply to get into. So you'd apply to like get into the business school or the pre-law program or the pre-med program, and you had to take XYZ course to like qualify. It was a whole system.
It was a whole thing.
Whole thing. Good old UMD.
Yeah, I don't know why I chose a major that was in the business school. That was really not my wisest.
You're a businesswoman.
Yep.
I feel like that's such an underrated thing about you.
Yeah.
That you were a business major.
One thing about Colby.
Like, I'm sure the listeners back at home were like, wow, Colby was a business major.
Yeah, and I got by.
Yeah, she was.
Literally through the skin of my teeth.
Okay, and also 2 episodes ago, you left the people on a cliffhanger about your employment.
Yeah, we didn't have time to touch on it last week, but speaking of business,
Colby really is a businesswoman now.
Yeah. At the end of February, I was laid off from my last job. Rebecca Minkoff isn't a privately held company anymore. They sold after COVID, and the parent company was like going through restructuring, and my division was folded, which like came kind of as a shock at first, because I for a long time felt like I had some type of job security for being a one-person team.
Mm-hmm.
And then that proved to not be the case. And at the time, I was like definitely already previously looking for a new role for that reason. It was like I had reached a point where, regardless of if I changed my title there, it didn't change the work that I was going to be doing. So I felt like in terms of growth, I had kind of reached a point that there was nowhere else for me to go. So I had already dipped my toe into looking and started having some conversations. And luckily, during my time there, I built my network so much, and I worked really hard at doing that and maintaining all of my relationships. So I had a lot of people that I could reach out to and people who wanted to help me. I definitely gave myself like a 2-day grace period feeling sorry for myself. And then I was like spending all of my days scrolling to the bottom of LinkedIn and having as many conversations as I could with people because I knew that I needed to find a job. And luckily, I signed an offer letter last week, and I am really excited because I am going to be doing something that I have been interested in since my job before Rebecca Minkoff. And I feel like working for a big company with a big established team is something that I had really been missing, except now I'm starting to kind of get nervous because walking into an office of a new job on first day is like so awkward.
No, it's gonna be so exciting.
Well, yeah, it's like the first day of school.
Yeah,
I understand that.
What are you gonna like, wear?
I need to buy something. I'm breaking my policy to let myself buy a new shirt.
I knew you were gonna say that.
No, you need a first day of school outfit.
Yeah, there's I walked by Madewell yesterday and then I went inside and I texted Katie. This like Chloe French aesthetic resurgence is like going to be my downfall because everything in every single store is my style right now. And like, I want to buy everything. And it's really a shame. But I feel like clothes are pretty again for the first time in so long.
Thank God we're out of grunge. I am so done with grunge. I'm so done with blah. I love the French.
Yeah. Like everything is pretty and easy to wear.
Yeah.
It's not like, I don't know.
Well, back to the job.
Baby tees, whatever.
We are so proud of you and happy for you.
Thank you.
And it was sad seeing you go through that.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to be laid off, especially when you do so much. Like, you kept that company alive.
Colby did. Colby was carrying that brand on her back. Literally
carried it on your back. Rebecca herself loves you and knows that.
Yeah. So luckily, I'm still on good terms with everyone.
We love Becky. We love Rebecca Minkoff. But so glad that, like, it pushed you into greener pastures.
Yes.
You know, it like gave you a little push.
No, I honestly think it was such a blessing in disguise. Like the fact that you literally, that it happened and within a couple of weeks, you have all these job offers to like all these, and like the sickest companies and roles ever.
Yeah. So deserved, by the way, too. Yeah.
It was honestly wild. And I do kind of believe that I needed the door to be fully closed to like put out into the universe that I was like ready for something new, because I think I would have always had more of like a personal guilt in a sense, because like I said, I was a one person team and knew that I was managing a lot, that it would always kind of be haunting me if I were to leave, that I would have to have that conversation. And obviously it sucks to not leave on your own terms, but it really did, I think, just fully close that door. And then, a lot of great opportunities came my way.
Presented
which
themselves.
Was really great.
No, you literally had your pick of the litter. Like, you had companies fighting for
literally
fighting over you.
Fighting over you, which is so deserved.
Yeah.
But isn't it kind of a blessing that you didn't have to quit? Like, you didn't have to have that awkward conversation of, like, I'm leaving. They literally made that so easy for you.
1,000%. And, but I will say, like, the job market, I am so happy and feel so lucky that I found something so quickly, because that was, like, one of my biggest fears, because, like I said, I was already looking for a new role, and I had been applying to jobs for probably like 6 months and wasn't getting anything. And so when I was first being laid off, it wasn't totally registering, and I started to go through like all the phases of grief kind of. I was at first terrified because I knew that I had been applying to jobs and I wasn't getting anything, which is why then while I've had this month of not working, everybody has been like, just try and enjoy it. And like, honestly, that's the worst thing that you could say to somebody who is laid off, because there is no way to just to sit down and know that you don't have an income.
Like, no, it's like constant anxiety. And we live in such an expensive city that like,
it's crazy.
How can you enjoy that?
And I still haven't gotten one unemployment check.
Yeah.
It's so effed up. It just is like crazy. But yeah, I knew that too. Something that was scaring me that I wasn't in a position to like turn down a job. So I'm happy the way that everything worked out that I actually ended up with offers that I was excited about. And I know that that is not the norm. So I am feeling very appreciative to the universe.
Go Colby. Yay.
When it rains, it freaking pours.
Yes.
Luke Combs.
That's true.
When it rains, it pours.
Stagecoach is April 25th.
Okay.
I believe.
Isn't that our friend's wedding?
No. Weekend before.
Oh.
I would not miss Allie's wedding.
No, I know, but I actually like was thinking that was on, that sounded like Stagecoach was on Sunday.
No,
her wedding was like the 23rd.
It's 24th. The last weekend. April, whatever the last weekend of April is, is Stagecoach.
Yeah.
Because we get back and it's freaking May.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what
the
hell?
That's crazy.
April's going to fly. But anyway, Colby, I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you got to tell the listeners because they were DMing me.
Yeah. I know. I realized last week. I was like, oh no.
No, I listened to the episode and I was like, wow, great production, Colby. Like, great production. Leave the people like, wanting more.
People are like, they're so on the edge of their seat.
I know.
But we're very excited for you. And your first day is what, on Tuesday?
On Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah.
That's so nice. You'll have like a nice 3-day weekend.
Since I signed the offer letter Friday last week, this week I actually have been able to enjoy being unemployed, which has been nice.
Yeah, that is good. No more anxiety.
Yeah.
And you'll have a 3-day weekend before you start, which means next week will also be a shorter week.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And with that, we probably should do the intro.
Yep.
But that was a good starting point.
That was a good note. We needed to start with that.
Yeah.
We needed to get it out.
Yes. Begging.
The people were begging. Before we talked about any random shit and totally forgot the important stuff like we always do.
And with that, welcome back to another episode of Match Made in Manhattan with Katie, Colby, and Adam. Girls, how we doing? Colby's doing well because she has a job. Katie's probably doing well because her apartment is looking gorgeous today.
It's coming together. Adam's been showering me with compliments because he knows he's been a hater in the past.
No, that's... I operate by speaking my mind the first thing. It's so funny. I literally
walk in. That's why we love you. That's why we love you.
I walk into Katie's apartment and I'm like, whoa, Kathy looks great in here. And she's like, of course Adam made a comment. The first thing he always does is makes a comment.
I was like, are you feeling a guilty conscience? Are you feeling guilty for slandering the apartment?
I was like, no, I would slander it if it looked like shit in here, but it looks great.
It did look like shit in here last week. But you know, I told you guys 3 weeks, remember?
Yeah.
I told you. Yep. I get 3 weeks of grace.
Period.
And then you can rip on me as much as you want.
Yeah. But also the last time I was here, I didn't even shit on it. I was just like, wow, it's a mess in here.
Hey, that's my version of shitting. That's my version.
It was just a statement.
Wait, speaking of shitting on me.
The truth.
Speaking of shitting on me, slight little tiny tangent. I posted on my story last night.
God, I knew you were going to bring this up. I was jamming Katie about
you
this.
You know when like you are under the impression that you made something so delicious, like you cooked something so good, even if it's like... You just know that you made something great.
Yeah.
And you want to show it off. And even if it's just like putting it on your Snap story back in the day. I don't know. I posted this soup that I made that I was so proud of because it's a really delicious soup. I make it all the time in my crock pot. And it's a direct copy of Waverly Diner's turkey soup, which they're famous for. And it's so good here in the city. Anyway, I made the turkey soup. I posted it on my story. I said... Oh my God, made my favorite soup. Who wants the recipe? Put a little poll on there. I have never been more humbled.
Was it like a 2% yes?
No. It was, okay, it wasn't that.
It was more yes than no.
Nope. When I deleted it, which I did delete it.
Yeah, I was going to say I didn't see this.
Because I got my answer. Like, you know what? I put the poll on there hoping that everyone would say yes and it would make me look really good.
And
like
everyone said no.
Star chef. It was 65% no.
Everyone said thank you, but no.
Everyone said that is... I don't know what they were saying.
Thank
Maybe they
you
don't,
for offering, but no.
They were like, no. I'm like, couldn't you have just been nice and said yes just to be nice? My God, people are way too fucking honest on the internet.
See, yeah. I feel like people may have been saying no as like a cynical kind of joking thing because you did invite that, Katie. You were like, yes, I want the recipe, or nah, not for me.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like
just like tap through.
Yeah, yeah. People didn't necessarily need to vote no. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, they voted no, and then there was like crickets, no reason for the no. I got a lot of DMs being like, yes, send the recipe, which like made me feel better. Thank you for that.
I DM'd you something nice. I was like, that looks sick. Like, yeah, I need it.
I feel like some people were DMing me pity DMs.
I mean, this reminds me of me posting the Hillstone prime rib all jus sandwich and it making it into Colby's group chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And them all being like, Adam's eating slop that's not cooked.
We literally thought you were eating a raw hamburger.
Yeah. So people are really judgy about food, I've learned. And so I was like thinking of delving into the food space of like posting some recipes. My toe was dipped. It's back out of the water now. I'm done.
Wait, but Katie, honestly, like you just did a test run and it proved that you would get good engagement on something like that.
True. People have a lot to say.
People love to hate on things, you know, like make your turkey wild rice soup, girl. Post it.
Yeah.
And you know what?
You need the haters to fuel the engagement.
The turkey and wild rice soup is like barely like very low cal.
Girl,
low
you don't
salt,
need to convince me. I asked for the recipe.
High protein. Yes. And
I gave you love though.
You know what? Like it really struck a chord. Like I was having a great day. And then I posted that. And my ego is bruised.
You like, were like, I'm going back to Uber Eats every day.
Like I am shook to my core. And I of course filmed a whole vlog segment on making this damn soup, and I'm very concerned about posting my vlog.
You have to include it.
No, I know. And also like maybe the video I posted just like wasn't an appetizing shot. So now I'm taking some feedback on my camera skills.
I literally love watching people cook, even if it's something that I know I'm never gonna eat. And I save so much stuff that I will never make, but my saved posts on Instagram are just all random food recipes. I got this video on my Discover page the other day of this girl making a sandwich, but the bread was zucchini, like baked, like shaved and baked together.
Oh,
or like zucchini bread.
No, but she sliced it like with a mandolin.
Oh,
so it was
slice
similar.
A zucchini. Okay.
It was similar. They were round and thin, and then she laid them together on like a grid. And I don't know what it was in another language. I think it was in French or something. So I couldn't understand what she was saying, but I watched it and I think she put cheese on it or something and then baked it. And then she put the stuff in the sandwich. It was like arugula. She put smoked salmon, which I wouldn't do, but I feel like that would be a good vessel to eat like a arugula tomato caprese sandwich situation.
That sounds really yum, honestly.
Yeah.
Although I will say, people are getting a little bit too creative with the breads. I'm like, just use a piece of sourdough, girl. Yeah. Like, it's okay.
No, I know. Exactly. I'm never making it.
Like, that sounds really
complicated. If I want a sandwich, I'm just going to use bread.
Like, it sounds good and I would eat it, but like the thought of mandolining a zucchini and then layering it all together and then putting cheese on top of it and then baking it to have it stick together and then using that as bread, like, that's like a whole day or endeavor just to make a sandwich. Yeah.
The girls stay being afraid of bread.
The girls are afraid of carbohydrates.
That
let me tell
is
you.
True.
No, why is everyone afraid of carbs?
I love bread.
It's been instilled in us from a young age to be afraid of carbs.
I do think we're on this like uptrend though. Like milk is now popular again.
We're getting through it. We're healing.
I'm eating dairy again.
Because you're lactose intolerant.
Because you admitted on the podcast that you were lying about being lactose intolerant.
I told Alex the other day, like I was like, he was like, oh, don't drink this, like it has milk in it. And I was like, oh, I'm not lactose intolerant. He literally paused for like at least 5 to 10 seconds and was like, what do you mean you're not lactose intolerant?
You didn't hear the news that Adam's been lying about his lactose intolerance? And
I was like, Alex, I'm not.
It's made up.
I'm not lactose intolerant. I was lying the entire time.
It was
like,
a bit.
He was like, what do you mean? I was like, you see me eating Greek yogurt and cottage cheese every single day.
No, it was a bit.
He was like, yeah, I thought that you were just lactose intolerant, but only to milk. And I was like, no, I think
isn't
milk's
there
cool
milk
now.
In cottage cheese and yogurt?
Yeah. I was like, this is your fault for not knowing what milk and cottage cheese and Greek yogurt was.
That's so funny.
He's just a boy, you know?
He's just a boy. Exactly. He's just a boy.
He's just a boy.
I know. Well, I can't wait to eat more dairy. I've been really enjoying.
Speaking of boys, both of you guys have updates for the class.
Boys, what's our update? Colby, what's your
update? Colby, Adam, you want me to go first? You, because we have been kind of left on a cliffhanger from you.
This spring and summer, we want skimpy wireless bills and fat wallets. And with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month, Mint Mobile has you covered.
Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/matchmade. That's mintmobile.com/matchmade.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for the first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
We did. People were DMing me last week being like, what the hell?
No, remember before Japan, you were like, I'm talking to this guy. I don't know if, like, are we going to continue to talk after Japan? Because I'm going to be gone for so long.
You're right.
So what's the update?
Okay.
With Hillstone Sugarfish Man.
Let's walk the people through it. So when we recorded the podcast, I think before I left for Japan, I think I was seeing him that night, potentially. Or I just seen him.
You were.
So I saw him that night and it was good. I think it was just like a normal date though. And it was like in that situation where I'd probably talked about on the podcast, like I think it was like our fifth date and I was still unclear where it was going kind of. But it was fine. And so then the next day he had texted me and we made plans to see each other again, like 2 days later, the night before I was leaving for Tokyo. And so I saw him that Thursday night before I was leaving for Tokyo. We got burgers at One White Street. We sat at the bar. It was really cute. And then he came over and it was nice. Like, it was just like a good night. And then we texted almost every single day when I was in Tokyo.
That's a really chic date. Burgers at the bar.
Burgers at the bar. I love a burger at the bar. And I love One White Street. And it was because he really likes burgers. And a couple weeks before, I had been to One White Street with one of my friends and I decided that they have my favorite burger in the city. It's like the best burger. You need to get it.
Is it better than Minetta Tavern?
Yes.
I haven't eaten there. I've only sat at the bar, the downstairs bar.
At One White Street?
Yeah.
They have you can book the bar seats on the top floor. So. One White Street for the people. It's in Tribeca. It's really chic.
Yeah, tell them what it is.
It's like a townhouse that they converted it into a restaurant. And so it's 4 floors, I think, 3 or 4 floors. And the top floor is like the chef's kitchen. Mm-hmm. And you can book to sit at the counter and you can watch them kind of making the food. Yeah. And it's really chic and a really good date spot. And they have like 4 seats at the bar upstairs.
They also have good outdoor seating in the downstairs. They do open like a French door when it's nice out. So it's indoor, outdoor.
Yeah. It's very, very cute, very chic. Highly recommend. And they have the best burger in the city, I've decided. It's amazing. And so I had sent him videos of the burger a couple weeks before and he was like, oh, we need to go. And so anyways, I had planned that for us the night before I left for Tokyo. And so great date. That one like fixed all of the prior dates where I was like, it seems like we're friends.
Did he pay? Did you pay? Did you split it?
We split it.
Okay.
We had been like doing kind of like a switch off in the early days, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like date two, like I remember I went over to his apartment and he had bought a sugarfish and like he bought us a bottle of wine.
Then
like,
you paid for the next one.
Then I paid for the next one. Right. And then the next one we started just like 50-50.
Right. I think that's fair.
Which I think is like, whatever. It's fine.
It's not what you want, but
it's fine.
It's not ideal for Adam Harrison, but
no, I'm fine to split.
It isn't a deal breaker.
I think it also depends on the dynamic of the relationship. Like, mm-hmm. I think I've dated guys who are like, not, I don't want to say like a lot older than me, but like if I'm 28, they're like, let's say they're 35, 36. Like they almost have like 10 years on me.
They have
the upper hand on me, and maybe they will take kind of that role in the dynamic and will like be paying for me every time.
We'll be fine with that.
This guy and I are like a little bit closer in age. I feel like he's more age appropriate for me. And so we're just like 50-50, you know?
Right.
And so anyways, great date. The night before I left for Tokyo, that was, I think, our sixth date. And we had seen each other twice that week. And so then we were texting almost every day when I was in Tokyo. But my issue with him has always been that the texting is like a little bit dry. So it's hard for me to know directionally like how he's feeling about me because the texting is like so dry, you know. Yeah. Like Katie and Colby have seen screenshots and it's like, does he like me, does he not like me? Very
like
unclear.
He's super nice, he's just giving you a nothing burger.
Yeah,
like, nothing and burger just like continuing to check in.
Yeah,
but that's it.
He'll be like checking in. Yeah. And you're like, okay.
Which in the early days, I was like, oh, this guy hates me. I'm pretty sure he hates me. But then, of course, he kept asking me on more dates. So it was like, okay, clearly he likes me. And maybe he's just not a big texter. Which I ended up being fine with at the end. Because I was like, okay, I'm clearly like getting more dates from this guy. And every time we were together in person, it was great. You know? And like, we have so much to talk about.
He was reassuring you with the dates.
Yeah.
That he liked you. But it was confusing because you didn't get that from the texting.
Yeah. Which is honestly like, I think a better scenario than the reverse.
Oh, 100%, absolutely. Right? If they're texting you a ton and then just like the dates aren't like, if you're not sure you're going to see them again.
Yeah.
Like,
like I wasn't getting love bombed by him.
Right. He was intentionally planning dates / telling you he wanted and you planned.
I also think like a terrible thing is when you have really good texting conversations with somebody. And this is another reason that I don't like texting so much before going on a date. But like, if you're texting so much and it seems good and natural and funny, and then you go on the date and it's just like, where is that person? like was no. I texting someone else?
Yeah.
It doesn't make, when it doesn't translate.
Yeah, in person. I completely agree with you. And so I think with him, I had the opposite. It was like, the texting is so dry, but then we're together in person and we're together for like several hours and we have a lot to talk about and a lot in common. And it's just like, I feel like I enjoy the time we have together on the dates.
Yeah.
And so we're texting like once a day when I'm in Tokyo, and then I come back from Tokyo. I see him this past weekend. So we got two spritzes on Saturday at Edwards and Tribeca, and then he had to go meet up with his mom. And so I think the way that I left this date with him on Saturday is like, I'm still kind of in this boat of I can't tell if we're just friends or if, like, I don't know, we're going towards something, but I haven't really had the chance to ask. Like, at this point, we've been on 7 dates and we've been talking.
Well, how do you feel about it?
I really like him, so I would totally be down to like have a conversation about where this is going, I guess.
Yeah.
But I also would be fine being friends because I like him, like the interactions that we have. It's just like when it's so 50-50 when we're together, if it's going to feel like we're just friends or if it's going to feel like we're in a dating environment. Yeah. Like, it only feels like we're romantic. Moving towards romantically, yeah. Like when we're together kind of in private, if that
makes
sense.
Why is he holding back?
I think that this might just be how he is.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's what I've come to realize, especially with the texting thing, because originally I was like, oh, this is a game, you know, because every other guy that I've talked to, I feel like there's such like a game of it.
Yeah.
Like, they gamify kind of the texting and the like pushing and pulling back and stuff like that.
Right.
This guy like is not gamifying it. This is literally just how he is. And the way I know that is like, why would he be consistently planning dates with me if he wasn't interested in me?
Yeah. You know? Why would he be like spending money and go like,
yeah.
Wasting,
and we're not going on cheap dates.
It's
not
even wasting energy, money, like your time.
Yeah, time, absolutely. Money. And he's a busy guy. I'm a busy guy. We can't, like, something I feel like we have in common is that we both have a lot of friends and a lot of like life is like a balancing act.
Yeah,
of,
he wouldn't do that for his own health, like, yeah. Or whatever the saying is. Okay.
So my direction on it is, it's like, I think it's just hard to tell what's going on right now. And honestly, after the date that we had on Saturday, in my head, I was kind of like, I wonder if. Like, what's gonna happen? I honestly thought we were mutually ghosting each other after Saturday, because Saturday really just felt like we were friends catching up. It was like an hour and a half. We had a couple spritzes. He went and met up with his mom and did a thing, and I like didn't hear from him. And I was also kind of in my head like, I feel like I made the effort to kind of get this one going, so I don't really feel like I should be the one.
Yeah,
to text
you should
him after.
Pull back. He should say something after / plan the next date himself.
I was kind of like, I think that he should text me in this case. In my head, I was like, I'm gonna let him text me if he is into this, because I kind of left feeling like we may be just friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I didn't hear from him that Saturday. So after we'd all seen each other, or Sunday. And so in my head, I'm like, I think we're just mutually ghosting each other.
Yeah.
But it also, there was a reality where he could have texted me, you know, a day later, and it would have been normal just based on the cadence that I know of talking to him for the past couple months. It's like, this is how he is on the texting front.
Right.
That I've accepted. That it's like, this is how he is, but he keeps planning things with me, so obviously like he might be interested in me. So anyways, thought we were mutually ghosting each other, and then of course Monday he texts me, and I'm like, all right, I guess we're not mutually ghosting each other.
Back on the horse.
Yeah. And the text, I mean, it's always the same thing with the texting. It's like, this is so unclear on if he's actually interested in me. Like, for example, he texted me, asked how the weekend was, if I was caught up on sleep, because I've basically been so jet lagged since coming back from Tokyo. And then of course I get sick again, like a couple days ago. Like, you can probably hear it in my voice. Like, today's the first day that I'm actually feeling better, but so a little congested. And so anyways, he asked me like how I was after the weekend, and texted him back about it. He sent me a bunch of pictures of him and his mom, and then like from their day on Saturday. And then I like gave him some stuff like back. And then it was just dry again. And I'm like, this is just so like classic.
He's so polite. And you want him to be a little less polite.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Like, it's like he's writing you letters. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, he's just very like buttoned up.
I know.
Like, give us some spice.
Yeah.
You know?
But what I decided. So at this point, we've been on 7 dates. We've been talking / going on dates. I think we first matched in January, like towards the end of January.
Oh my gosh, it's been a End of winter affair.
What are we on now? March something?
Spring.
It's now spring. Yeah.
See, I've been talking to him / going on dates with him for, I think, 2 months now, right? Yeah, that's what that time period is. And so I'm like down to keep dating, but I think what I've decided that I'm going to do is if he texts me and asks me to hang out again, I think I'm just going to ask and be like, maybe we should talk about where we think this is going and just be like, sometimes I feel like we're just friends. Sometimes I feel like we're you know, shooting for like more of a datey vibe. Like, where are we at?
Yeah. Or like, just get the feedback. Like, how do you feel about what's, there's a way to do it just where it's just like casual.
Level set.
Yeah. Like, I just want to level set. And I'm going to be like, I'm cool either way. Like, I would not, I honestly would not.
Like, hey, I'm having a lot of fun, but like,
just
what's going on?
Get my expectations in check.
Yeah, yeah. And just like, know what the end game is.
I think after 2 months, that is a perfectly fair thing to do. Yeah. Like, I maybe think after like date two, if you're doing that, that's a little bit like, whoa, like just like see how things are going.
Yeah.
But after 2 months of spending time and money and energy on a person, I think like you need to figure it out.
Yeah, I think it's fair to get some direction. And I'm not like looking for a commitment or saying like, oh, we're dating. But I think just an indication of what is the end game here.
Because are we friends or not?
Yeah. Like, should we be friends? Should we, you know, keep seeing each other? And I guess it's complicated also when it's like two dudes who are gay. Because it's like, it is a reality where you could kind of branch out and end up just being friends. Like, I think that happens all the time in gay world. In gay world, my favorite thing
to say.
I
love when you say the phrase, in gay world.
In gay world. So, yeah. Anyways, that's the update on Hillstone Sugarfish Man.
I needed
nothing
that.
Nothing crazy to write home about, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
We're confused.
We're all confused.
That's the update.
Yeah, we are.
We're confused.
Yeah. But I mean, it's okay. I think it's better this scenario than like me feeling like some of the other guys I've dated. Like, for example, like Hillstone, who told me he was obsessed with me and that he saw a future with me and then the next day ghosted me. It's like, that's not what I feel like is going to happen with this guy. You know?
No, he seems like a really nice guy.
He's fantastic.
So no matter
like,
what happens, he's not going to like be a heartbreaker.
He's a good dude, has a lot of friends. Like, I really, really like him. Like, good interests. We have a lot in common.
Right,
we have so much to talk about when we're together. Like, I really, really like him. So I'm curious.
Maybe he's just, he doesn't know what you want either. I think you guys just, I think for the both of you, you need to have a little chat.
It could be. Could
I
be
think
two
it could
ways.
Really, like, make maybe it'd make him feel more confident himself.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I feel like I have had to make the first move in a lot of scenarios.
I feel like maybe he doesn't know that you, like, want him to do that.
You're very correct.
They aren't mind readers, you know?
You're so right.
Men.
Yeah. The male brain needs to be studied, though.
It does.
I'm a love bomber. Like, I truly don't understand the purpose of that.
Love
bombing? It's a lot of work. Love bombing is a lot of work.
But I'm like, did you ever believe that, what you were saying in that moment? Or why did you feel like that was what you were supposed to say?
I feel like in our society,
if you didn't expect to ever speak again.
There's a lot of emphasis put on the phrase, fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
I think love bombers are professional fake it till you make iters, but they don't make it. You know what I mean?
But I honestly think they just like the rush of somebody thinking falling that they like them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right.
Like, they like to feel like somebody is interested in them.
Yeah.
So they put in the work to, you know, make somebody interested in them. And then they're like, okay, cool. I got the dopamine rush that I wanted.
Sugarfish, Hillstone, Sugarfish Man, whatever his freaking name is not a love bomber.
No. I honestly have nothing bad to say about him. Like, I really think he's so great.
The term for what he is.
He's just a normal dude. Yeah. I don't know how, like, literally whenever I describe
him to
people.
He's just an average Joe.
I'm like, he is literally just such a normal person. Like, I don't feel like there are any.
I mean, like,
maybe
normal,
he's
but
playing such a crazy game with me that I have in my head been like, he's normal and I don't feel like there are any games here. Like, maybe the game is so intricate on his side that I don't know.
That you just don't
that
even
see
it. That
you haven't caught on.
That I haven't caught on.
You're
which
like,
would
he's
be
just
crazy.
A normal guy.
Yeah. But in my head, I'm like, he's just a normal dude. And anytime somebody asks me about him, I'm like, I have nothing bad to say. I think he's a great person. I just have no idea what is going on with what we are.
What his intentions are.
Yeah. But well, great dude, Sugarfish Hillstone Man.
Great dude.
No complaints.
Thanks for the update.
You got it, guys.
We really needed that.
I always have something for you. Don't you worry.
We needed that.
I know last week we missed it. But last week, I feel like there wasn't even anything like substantial enough outside of the fact that we had gone on a date the night before I went to Tokyo.
And we're texting while you were there.
And we're texting.
Yeah,
like,
we didn't know what was happening. Also, we needed the Japan update, obviously. Yeah, yeah. And we're glad that you're feeling better.
Dude, same. Oh, wait. Also, That is another update. Is last week an article, or maybe no, it was earlier this week actually. One of my friends at work who I was in Tokyo with sent it to me, and he was like, the fact that this is what you had was neurovirus. There's all of a sudden a like massive surge of cases of neurovirus in Tokyo.
That did they you bring released. It there?
Wow.
I was like, girl, I know, I was patient zero.
Did you infect everyone?
Like, I think I did, probably. Oh,
so maybe it wasn't the sushi.
I think it was a sushi, because neurovirus you get from food, don't you? Isn't it foodborne or no?
I thought it's no, just contagious.
It's so contagious.
Person to person. You like, can get it.
Yeah. If like, you from touch one person. Any surface, if you're like breathing next to, it's so contagious.
Wait, honestly guys, like that may be how I got it and my friends didn't. Like I don't think I washed my hands after we were around, and I had a hand roll at that sushi place, so I probably touched something and then touched my hand roll.
Wasn't even the sushi, you just breathed next to the wrong person. Also, neurovirus is extremely contagious.
Well, that's why I'm also shocked that my friends didn't get it, because I was standing right next, like we're at the standing sushi bar and I'm standing right next to them, and then they all of a sudden I'm like violently ill.
Really good immune systems and you don't.
Yeah.
I know my friend, he like we've been telling, I feel like everybody at work, because everybody's like, oh, how was your trip? And then all of my coworkers love to tell the story about how I'm like literally dying on the train. And so people keep coming up to me and they're like, oh, I heard you got sick. And I was like, yeah, I got really fucking sick. And my friend was like, dude, Adam, like, I literally thought I was going to have to carry you off the train. I was texting my family asking, who were doctors, asking if we needed to, like, evacuate you from this bullet train. And meanwhile, in my head the entire time, I'm like, fuck, I'm killing the vibes. Like, if I throw up one more time, I'm going to ruin our trip to
They're
the
They're not
going to
be friends
onsen.
With me anymore.
I'm not going to be friends with the cool kids.
Well, I'm glad that you're better now.
Me too. My stomach, I feel like, has finally recovered, because for days after, like, it was not good. Like, I felt nauseous almost every time I ate.
All right. Well, you're better now.
We're better.
We're manifesting it.
And you're not jet lagged anymore.
You are better than ever.
I'm just drugged up on sleep meds, because I was so jet lagged that I was at the point of no return. I was like drugging myself to sleep every night.
Yeah.
Me and my lorazepam.
Something I think is in the air. Yeah. You are. What is her name?
Victoria.
Yes. Victoria Ratliff. I always want to call her Patricia.
Parker Posey.
I always want to call her Patricia.
Because she reminds you of Southern Charm?
Yeah. Well, she's modeled after Patricia.
Oh, is she? Yeah. Patricia Upsall or whatever her last name is.
It's Victoria Ratliff. And
Piper, no. I have some theories about the White Lotus. There's only two more episodes.
What?
Yeah.
I'm kind of not surprised. I feel like it's like really coming to a head. Like things are happening at rapid pace.
Oh, I guess in the first season, I guess the death always does happen like in the end. Like you find, but we didn't even see like,
no,
I don't want to spoil it, but obviously we know someone dies. Every season someone dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but it happens in the first minute.
Literally the first minute. So there's no spoiling.
The really annoying part is the first four episodes, like, people were hardly even talking in the first two. I feel like we didn't learn anything about anyone.
It's a slow burn, and that's why people, like, it's so mystifying. It's like, what's going on?
I
you have
love
to read,
everything
read
about
into
White Lotus.
Every symbol. I love going on Reddit afterwards and like reading, like, really smart people have like really decoded the show, and like they think they know who's gonna die.
That's me on TikTok. But also I love that they also place Easter eggs, I feel like, for every single person on the show. Like you think like there is a viable situation where anybody can die who's on the show.
Oh yeah.
Based on the little Easter eggs that Mike White has planted.
I
you
do
know?
Not think the Thomas Ravenel dad is dying.
Yeah, because they like, I don't want to give a spoiler.
I feel like they teed him too much. They've teed the kid too much. Like, I don't know.
The incest was crazy. It was crazier than I ever could have expected.
But you definitely, I don't know. I felt like I saw it coming.
I did not. The first glimpse,
episode where what's his face was naked and he's like looking.
I know. But like, okay, the kiss was one thing. And then the first flashback of it, I thought that they were just like all in bed together, and I thought that the other brother was like getting head from the other girl. And then when we saw what was actually happening, I was like, oh my god. And then when you found out what was actually happening, I was like, oh my god.
That was, we can put a little spoiler thing in the description.
There's a lot of unexpected twists on the show. And I just can't believe there's only two more episodes. I did not know that information.
Oh, yeah. It came up in the trailer.
Yeah, that makes me sad because I'm into the storylines.
Well, and I just love Parker Posey. I want to see, like,
she is such a good character.
She's in a lot of stuff these days. Like, I remember, like she was in a lot of things in, like, the 90s and early 2000s, but, like, I haven't seen her in things recently.
Yeah.
And I love her. I love her style in the show.
Yeah.
Every outfit I want.
So what I heard about her, it's so funny. Earlier this week, they opened up with, do you know Printemps?
Yes, of course. Okay. I texted Colby. I want to go.
So they opened up Printemps, and it's like basically right in front of my apartment. It's next so to Whole Foods. So chic. And every single day, there's been massive, massive lines in front of it. And the other day, Alex was like, he texted me because he was going to the gym, which is right next to the Printemps that they open. And he was like, oh, they're doing some influencer event at Printemps. Like, I wonder if your friends are here. And I was like, I don't think I know of any of my friends who are going to the opening of Printemps, but the maybe I'll check.
Why wasn't I invited? I'm not chic.
No,
enough.
Literally, I was tracking. No, I was like, I wonder if Katie and Danielle and.
Honestly, Danielle would so be invited to
all
that.
My, like, little influencers.
She's the fashion girl.
Yeah, I was curious, and so I was tracking on Find My Friends. I didn't see any of you guys there, and so I was like, I don't think they're doing an influencer event. And then what do I see the next day is it's like not an influencer event. Like, they straight up had like a massive celebrity gathering at the Printemps right in front of my apartment, and who was there photographed everywhere is Parker Posey. And I was like, Alex, I'm literally so pissed that you didn't actually give me accurate information about this, because I would have been over there trying to snipe out Parker Posey because I'm obsessed with her.
I love her.
But she was all over the scene at the Printemps opening. And so I'm glad that she's having her moment. You
I'm
know,
really
in
glad. She carries that show right now.
She's so good.
I'm
so
just
good.
Saying.
What I've heard about her is that so she is very integrated into the gay community. And like, I have a lot of mutuals who hang out with her all the time. She lives in the West Village. She always has a gaggle of gays around her. She's single.
Gaggle of gays.
She likes going around and drinking at bars.
Well, she's the original party girl.
Like, she's I know nothing about her. Except
now
that
you're learning.
She's popping her lorazepam and she doesn't have her prescription.
Where the fuck? The fact that she hasn't caught on to the fact that
her husband is taking the lorazepam.
Okay, so that's part of my theory.
Is it what?
That she at least knows what's going on at home, but I...
Do you think she knows that
my theory
in Thailand?
Is that... Yeah, no.
And not Taiwan.
Taiwan.
Yeah. But I think that she... This is my spoiler alert theory, is that she was involved in tipping off the IRS or whoever's coming after them.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
But what would she gain from it? Like, they're... offering to let her keep her money or something?
Yeah, maybe like immunity or something.
They cut her a deal
because
that she's like a mastermind the entire time.
Yes,
that I would love that theory so much.
It's my theory solely because of her statement last week and the look she was giving at her husband when she said, "At this age, I just don't think that I can
was meant to live an uncomfortable life.
Live an uncomfortable life."
Yeah.
Can you please make that the meme this week?
Yes.
Like, that's my favorite.
The meme
statement
has to be Parker Posey.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do think someone in the Ratliff family dies.
Maybe it's going to be the husband.
But you know what would make me really happy?
What?
If it isn't, well, I don't really care about them, whatever. If Greg.
Greg
the guy who got Tanya killed. I want him to be the one floating in the water.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be him. Because did you see the other theory? That's kind of like floating
around. Which one?
That Tanya put, what's her face? The girl who wants to open up her own spa.
Belinda.
As like the secondary of her will. And so I think the other theory that I've seen floating
around. I just want Belinda to win. I'm just so happy that Belinda.
I love her and the guy.
The masseuse.
Yeah, they're so cute.
When her son walks in on
no,
her.
No, that was so horrifying.
I was like, that's my worst nightmare.
I was like, how are you going to sit at breakfast after that?
And not
they
not
had
a good
whole vacation. Anyway,
we had like a
he
random...
was so respectful. He literally was.
Zion just
said,
wants his mom to get
do
laid.
Do you need a minute?
Okay, well, that was an unintentional White Lotus recap.
Tangent.
Hopefully, people aren't too mad at us for spoiling the show.
Well, we'll put a spoiler.
You guys
alert.
Know we're
well,
like so
has
rogue.
To have watched by now.
We're so
that
rogue.
Is watching.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's fine.
Also, like, I feel like you just have heard things. Like, especially the incest of it all. I feel like that was, like, headlining news.
Yeah, E! News had spoiled the incest for me before I watched it.
Well, incest was happening.
The first incest.
Incest, like, incestual themes were happening on, like, episode 2.
Yeah.
When he was, like, looking at his brother's butt.
Yeah, but they made us all think it was Patrick that was going to be.
Yeah,
was it episode 1 when we saw his dick?
I think it was episode 1.
We fully saw Dick.
Oh, no, it was episode 2. It was episode 2.
That was the dad.
No, we saw both dicks.
I don't think
we saw Dad's dick in episode 2. We saw...
Yeah.
We saw Patrick's dick as well.
The dad's dick falling out did not need to happen.
The dad's dick... That was also 100% a prosthetic. Like, I do not believe that was actually his dick.
Oh, you think so?
It looked fake. I don't know. Maybe they all are.
Crazy.
It was old.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was definitely a prosthetic. It was a prosthetic. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway... Thanks for the update on Sugarfish Man. I'm glad we've pivoted into from Sugarfish Man to norovirus to
we've been all over the world.
The dad's dick
to old man penis.
Yeah.
And Kobe, update us on your life.
Adam's coworker and I have not seen each other since before I went away, and now he is away in Asia.
I think he leaves today or tomorrow.
Today.
Yeah,
because we were gonna get drinks this week, but then he said that he was like overzealous with packing and stuff, which was fine, but I ended up going to get drinks with that guy's friend that we met in Boston.
Oh my god, how'd it go?
It was good. It was like actually so fun. And I realized this weekend, my friend who was like the reason that I even met the person who said that we should go out, she was here and she was like, what's going on with that guy? And I was like, he DM'd me, but then we never planned anything. And then I went to go show her the messages, and I realized that while we were on our friend's bachelorette, at some point, I don't even remember opening this message, he had been like, are you free on Thursday?
No.
And I never replied.
Colby ghosted this man.
So I messaged him and I was like, wait, I fully just accused you of ghosting me and realized that I never answered this. I'm sorry.
Colby's like, and I am actually the culprit.
Yeah. But so we went to drinks and it was like a really good date in the sense that it just felt like a natural and normal conversation. It wasn't like really getting to know each other or asking like surface level questions in that sense. Like, it was just fun.
That's good. Where'd you guys go?
Yeah, it was good vibes.
Weather up?
No, we went to Colby's
Favorite in date
West
spot.
Village.
Every time I walk by Weather Up, I'm like, whoever I'm with, I'm like, my friend Colby. She runs that place.
I always say, I'm like, Colby goes on a lot of dates there.
Yeah, you do. We literally was on, when I was with Sugarfish Man, I was like, Colby always be going on dates there.
I love that place.
Stavili is so good,
too. I love Stavili. We walk in to the place last night. We went to the one in the West Village, and there's a girl with a microphone, and I was like, what's going on?
You think it was karaoke night?
I got so scared. I thought there was either going to be, like, stand-up comedy or something spontaneous going on, but it was live music. There was a guy with a guitar next to her that I didn't see at first, and it was so nice, and it was good, just background music and vibes.
Yeah.
So
I love that. Okay, yeah. So good date. How long was it? 4 hours?
Unintentionally, yeah.
Oh, it was?
I don't know what's... Something is wrong with me.
No, Colby, you're just
a 4-hour date.
You're a good talker,
I guess. he texted me and thanked me. I was like, you are so welcome for the entertainment.
Yeah. The mic was actually for you.
Yes. He said, thank you for tonight.
Yeah. That's what he texted
me. He thanked you for your performance.
For my presence.
For your good conversation and warm energy.
Did he pay the bill?
Yeah.
Sly. He's like, duh.
Yeah.
Pays the bill. Thanks you.
Yeah.
Okay. Seems like you got... Are you sexing? Like
10 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to go out next week.
Hell yeah.
And he's tall.
Yeah, he's like 6'5".
No.
I felt so tiny.
As you should.
I was like, oh my god, I'm tall, dark, so and handsome. Small.
Was he built?
Yes.
Oh, obsessed.
Yeah.
Love.
All right, we love him. Is he from Boston?
No.
Oh.
I thought he was, but he's not.
Where's he from?
New Jersey.
Okay.
Oh, he's back to his roots. So he was in Boston at some point. Okay.
Does he look like Boston, though? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he knows how to put an outfit together, though.
Okay. Looks like Boston.
Which I can appreciate.
Because I feel like Colby's type looks like Boston.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw a guy and I was like, oh, they look like Boston, I would be like, that's Colby's type.
Yeah.
Like, a hat is usually involved.
Yeah. A backwards hat.
Yeah, a backwards hat.
And, like, he doesn't have this haircut, but you know that, like, layered, like, flowy haircut that you push.
Looks like Boston. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Like, almost a mullet, but not quite.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
Soft curls, like little curls.
Yeah.
He's lax flow.
Could have curled ends or straight.
Yeah.
All right. 6'5". We love it. And he said thank you.
He's, does he have blue eyes?
He has manners.
6'5".
You guys are both talking to such polite men.
I suppose so.
I love this for you.
I want mine to be a little less polite.
Just gotta loosen up.
Yeah,
but tell him to, you just gotta like get some shots in him, maybe.
Get the polite out of here.
How about you get some more drinks in him?
We don't skimp on the drinks. I feel like we're together.
That's crazy town. Anyway, well, I'm happy for you both that we've had some good things. Adam no longer has neurovirus, and Colby went on a good date, and she got a new job.
Yeah.
Guys, we're all on the upswing.
We're on
a season of abundance upon.
Minus not an abundance of turkey chili soup.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still hurt over that.
Katie, I want the recipe. I'm not going to make it, but I want you to make it for me.
I have 4 more servings to eat this week. And so every time I'm eating the freaking turkey soup, I'm going to be like ruining the day that I decided to make this and post it on my story.
Knowing you, I feel like you're never going to.
All of my credibility.
You're never going to make it again.
I've lost all credibility. Everyone now.
The recipe is shredded.
All of my amazing stews that I've made that I genuinely am like, these are so good. I'm now going to feel like self-conscious about posting because the turkey soup ruined my credibility.
Yeah.
I actually just thought of a present that I was going to get you.
Okay.
Is it a surprise? Or are you going to tell her?
No.
It's you know, a surprise. My half birthday is coming up.
Oh.
April 27th is my half birthday if anyone wants to put it on their calendar.
It's on mine.
I'll make note.
Hey, Siri, put Katie's half birthday on my calendar.
Yeah.
I tried to do that in our group chat the other day. It didn't work.
you just said what you said.
Remember to film an ad.
Yeah.
I just thought about
that. Don't forget. I have the script.
Oh, I didn't forget.
I was going to say, we're up on time.
I'm excited.
Oh, is it time for us to go?
We're up on time.
We honestly, I'd say you, mostly you two, fed the people today.
We did.
This was a really good.
Off on all outstanding items.
The people be eaten today.
No one's going to have any follow-up questions.
They might.
Everyone's been satisfied.
Their follow-up questions are going to be like, why haven't we done the advice segment in weeks?
Crap. And I screenshotted too.
I know. I think we'll hit him with it next week. We'll make an effort.
Surely we'll have less to discuss next week.
We were yapping this week.
There was a lot to say.
Sometimes we have really good episodes where we have a lot to talk about. Other weeks are like drier. So we'll just save the advice for the drier weeks.
Exactly.
All right.
And with that, girls, it's been fun. Love ya. See ya.
Bye. All right, let me pull up the script.
Ta-ta for now.